we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program for this fine Wednesday morning. We want to take this opportunity to invite you out to our Wednesday evening services. Begin tonight at 7 o'clock. We've got something for everybody. We've got three girls' classes that go on, a boys' class that goes on, and an adult Bible study that is going on. I was talking to the teacher of that here a few weeks ago, and he said, man, I am learning so much teaching this class. And it's like, that is the benefit of teaching. You know, if you're doing it just for a paycheck, which our teachers aren't paid or anything like that, but if you are teaching for a paycheck, you are missing one of the great privileges, and that is when you are preparing a lesson, you end up learning more than you are able to communicate to your class. It truly is a blessing to be able to come here. I have learned, this is going to sound strange, I've learned things preparing for this radio broadcast that I didn't know. And so y'all have helped me to grow because I've been trying to prepare for this broadcast and for this teaching series that I do, and end up learning things that have been life-altering. So thank you for the privilege of spending this next half hour with you. It's my privilege, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you as well. We want to say thank you today to the folks at Weirich Air, Heat, and Electric, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. Their phone number is 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. I was recently talking with Carla, and she was telling me that a listener to this program had called them recently and scheduled a service call with them. And that's a couple in the past 2 months that have reached out to them, and they have been able to help them get their air conditioning up and running again. And so I thank you for supporting them, and I pray that you are climate controlled, that you are cool when you want to be cool, and that you are warm when you want to be warm. It's great when you are the one that's able to control the atmosphere around you instead of being in bondage to the heat wave that is out there. Pray that those come to an end here soon. But if you need an AC company anywhere in Brevard County, give Weirich Air a phone call, 321-632-9538, and you will be glad that you did. You'll get treated fairly. You'll get treated honestly, and they will do a wonderful, wonderful job for you. So we are going through the Sermon on the Mount. This is something that God laid upon my heart. I still have not yet got to the verse that God birthed in my spirit that caused us to be in this study in the first place. We'll get to that eventually. But here in Matthew chapter 5, we are going to touch on the end of this chapter today. We are going to begin reading in verse number 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43, we're going to go through the end of the chapter, verse number 48. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and visit Merritt Assembly of God and see if it is where God would have you to worship and to serve. We are going to be preaching the word that God gives us as long as he gives us breath. And so there is a young man in Brevard County. Today's a birthday in his life. And so we just want to say happy birthday to him. His mom is a great blessing to our church. And so we just want to say happy birthday to them. It's a birthday even for somebody that I'm not related to. How about that? So happy birthday out there, we bless you in the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43. Jesus said, and again, he's elevating our understanding and elevating the standard of behavior for believers. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on evil, on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So here he's reminds them something that was talked about in Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 18. Now, in that passage, it says, "You shall love your neighbor." It does not mention about hating your enemies. So that is the standard that people had been told by God, was to love your neighbor. And you could go into the story of the Good Samaritan, about the Jewish man who falls into the hands of thieves, is beaten and robbed and cast off the side of the path. And, you know, all of that happened because the question was asked, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And the answer that Jesus gives is, it's not the person who looks like you. It's not the person who believes like you do. That's not the situation. The way that you define your neighbor is that person who is in need, that person who has been beat up by the enemy, the person who's been robbed of their dignity or robbed of their possessions or robbed of their potential. And Jesus said, that's your neighbor. That's the person that you are supposed to love. Well, people had added to what God had spoken in the Old Testament. And they had added this: "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor," again, that's Leviticus, "and hate your enemy." Well, man has a way of trying to pollute the sayings of God. And so Jesus is going to clarify, and he's going to say, but wait a minute, that's not the standard of behavior. We don't get to go. In fact, John, 1 John, says that it is impossible for us to say that we love God when we hate our brother. And I would just simply say this: you and I are not called to hate people. We are called to hate sin. And the reason that I can say that we can hate sin is because God hates sin. And before we hate the sin in somebody else's life, we are called to hate the sin in our own life. So that's where we've got. But many times people will take a spiritual truth and they will distort it and they will contort it and they will pervert it. And next thing you know, you're going out and you're telling people that God hates them. God doesn't hate them. He loves them. He died for them. He wants to save them. So let's look at this elevated standard of God, you know, that, because that's what we need to live up to. He says, "But I say to you," anytime Jesus says something different than a man has told you, you need to go with what God says. Recently, I was teaching the boys at church about authority and how there are different voices. I would communicate with one: you are to pay attention to the words that are coming out. We had them blindfolded and they were following directions. Said, I'm the voice that is going to give you directions. And so after I put the blindfold on them, I told the other people in the crowd, you're trying to drown out my voice. You're supposed to give instructions that are different than mine so that they will pay attention to my voice. There are many voices that will speak authoritatively into people's lives, but they don't have the authority of God. Always go with what God says over what man says. That's why we need to know the Word of God. That's why we need to study the Word of God and show ourselves a student, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. We need to know what God has to say about things. Too many times in our society right now, a person comes along and they say something and they expect that we're going to give them greater credence than what God has to say. And there's a respectful way of saying that. Well, you know, I appreciate that that's your opinion, but I have a higher authority that has spoken, and this is how I'm supposed to respond to this situation. So I'm not going to be able to do what you want me to do because I'm not supposed to steal. I'm not supposed to lie. I'm not supposed to kill. I'm not supposed to covet. I'm not supposed to do any of those things. I'm going to have to stick with God's behavior. And whether it's right to obey you or to obey God, you're going to have to decide. But we've already made our decision, and that is we're going to follow what God has to say. So what does Jesus say? He says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. Talk about a loaded responsibility that is presented to us right there. There are four things that are mentioned that it's going to take the Spirit of God for us to be able to accomplish those things. The first thing is, instead of hating your enemies, love your enemies. Realize that they have been corrupted in some way, they have been damaged in some way that is causing them to act out the way that they are. David Wilkerson, when he presented the gospel to Nicky Cruz, threatened to cut him into 1,000 pieces, and David Wilkerson's response was, you could do that, and each one of those 1,000 pieces would be crying out that Jesus loves you. When you see that person that is hostile towards you, rather than crying out, God, crush their teeth, grind them into the dust of the earth, God, I pray that their next breath would be their last breath, or their next heartbeat would be their last heartbeat. Instead of praying that, why don't you say, God, I know that our relationship is not that great, but God, you know, I believe that you could make it better. Do whatever you need to do in me, and do whatever you need to do in them, so that we both know you as Lord and Savior, and we both live that out on a regular basis. That's how you love your enemies. That's how you love those people who are hostile towards you. You don't carry the grudge. Don't nurse the grudge. There, you know, I did an illustrated sermon one time on people who nurse grudges. They, you know, God wants them to die, and we've got them on an IV drip. We're keeping that thing alive. I tell you what, there are some things that are meant to go into the history books, and the grudges that we hold against those who've treated us badly, those need to be some of the things that go into the history books. Don't allow them to remain contemporary. Take them to the cross and leave them there. Love your enemies. And all together, everybody on the Refresh Radio program said, today I am going to love my enemies. The second, it says, bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. There are plenty of people who do not want to see Christianity as a modern testimony here in America. California has been considering legislation and how that's all going to turn out that is very hostile towards Christianity. If you present the gospel to someone who is not ready to let go of their sins, they are more than likely going to lash out at you, and they will curse you. But I want to tell you that the scripture says in the book of Proverbs that an undeserved curse does not come to rest. an undeserved curse. So it doesn't matter what anybody says to you. There may be people who are trying to cast spells, or they may be people who are trying to manipulate you. There may be people who are trying to undermine you and curse you at every turn. And I want you to understand that when your heart is right with God, and when you are doing your best to love your enemies, even though they may lash out at you, you can still bless them, because you don't have to be worried about the power of damage that they can do to your life, because you have one that is greater living on the inside of you than he that is in the world. You are able to be a blessing. I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing to the nations of the earth. That's what God said to Abram. I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing. How do you bless someone who is cursing you? Are you praying that their business will succeed? Well, you know, if their business is hostile towards the kingdom of God, I can't pray that God will bless their financial endeavors. But I can pray this blessing. God, I pray that you would bless them with a repentant heart that will turn to you. I can bless somebody like that. I can pray that God would bless them by being present in their life in a very awesome and real manner. I can pray that God will bless them by turning them from their sins and giving them a relationship with God. You can be a blessing. Do good to those who hate you. Do good to those who hate you. That is so opposite of what the world would have you to do, where people don't like you, and so you just, you know, stand and watch as something burns to the ground or falls to the ground. You know, I've never been one that's been able to do that. I was throwing a paper route in Oklahoma when I was in my college years. It wasn't my paper route, it was my parents', and it covered 52 miles. It was a huge, massive paper route. Hundreds of papers of a morning, hundreds of papers of an evening, and 1,000 papers on Sunday morning. It was a thankless job. You know, only time you heard from people is when their papers were late, and that was because the papers had gotten to you late. So my brother and I are throwing this paper out one afternoon. And there's a vacant lot next to a house, and a fire has broken out. There's a fire. It's not my house. It's not my, wasn't my vacant lot. And if that person had been an enemy, there would have been people that said, well, you know what? If their house burns down, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. That's not the heart of a Christian. And so, even though we had a paper route to throw, there was nobody else on the scene. There was nobody around. So we stopped the car, we parked the car, and we got out and began to beat the fire out. I mean, it wasn't a massive fire. It was still relatively small at that point in time. And we did our best to put that fire out. How do you put out a spiritual fire with a neighbor? Well, one of the ways that you do that is you treat them well. You do good things to them. You be considerate of their property. And if you see their dog running loose in the neighborhood, you don't say, well, you know, they'll probably find a better owner next time. You don't do that. You do what the scripture says in the Old Testament, says if your neighbor's donkey gets loose, you help him to find his way back home. I don't know what the person that treats you badly might respond to as a blessing. If they're a coffeeaholic, I mean a coffee drinker, you might bless them with a cup of coffee one day. And if you wanted to make it less conspicuous that you were just, you know, trying to treat them well, you might bring coffee for the whole office. or if you're going out for donuts, you might find out what their favorite donut is and bring that. There's a thousand ways that you can do good to someone who hates you. I mean, God, they have a really rotten attitude towards you. And Jesus says, do good to them. Do good to them. There is something redemptive in their life. And many times it will not be the words that come out of our mouth, but the actions that come out of our heart that will touch them and change them. And then it goes, it says, pray for those who treat you spitefully or pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And I just want to encourage you that if you are not being treated well, the first course of action is to pray. Maybe your boss doesn't treat you well. Maybe your parents aren't treating you well. Maybe your kids aren't treating you well. Instead of complaining about it, let's pray about it. One of the things that I will always remember Ed Silvoso saying is talk to God about your neighbor before you talk to your neighbor about God. Talk to God about your neighbor. Pray for them. You know, you don't know what they've been going through. I had a situation one time where I was being treated very badly by an individual. I had not done anything to sow into this situation where I was being treated badly. I was just being treated badly. There were issues going on in the person's life, and I seemed to be bearing the brunt of it. And this person told me, they said, the reason that you are being treated badly is because you are a safe place. You are a safe place. People can come and they can vent to you. And even though it is they lash out in a personal manner, they know that you're going to continue to love them. So in some strange way, the fact that people were lashing out was actually a compliment. And it took me a while to process that. And, I want to say this again. Don't stay in a dangerous situation. That's not what's being talked about here. If you're in an abusive situation, you need to be in a safe place. You are not called to suffer physical or sexual abuse or any of that sort of abuse. You're not intended to stay in a terrorist situation. God's not called you to a spirit of fear. He's called you to a spirit of love, a spirit of power, a spirit of a sound mind. So what do you do? You don't just pray that God will get you out. You pray that God will change a heart. The Old Testament says that the king's heart is in God's hand, and he steers it like a water course. He steers it wherever he wants it to go. So pray. Don't just pray about the situation. Pray in faith that God is going to change that person's heart. How do you know that God could change their heart? Because he changed yours and he changed mine. So Jesus is saying, love your neighbor. Don't even give any credence to that second part of the statement that says, hate your enemies. Well, what do you do if you've done all of this and you have prayed for them, you've loved them, you've done good to them, you've blessed them, you've met their felt needs, and they still don't respond? Jesus said, and Paul literally did this, with a city that rejected his ministry. You get up, you shake the dust off of your clothes, you shake the dust off of your feet, and you say, we're going to move on to a different opportunity, and we are going to demonstrate Jesus there. Don't let past conflict or a past problem interfere with the reality that God is going to use you to build his kingdom. He will build his church. You continue to love your neighbor with the definition that Jesus gave, and you are going to see spiritual fruit. You can't help it. God is the Lord of the harvest, and he only provides you and I with good quality seed. So we can run the risk of loving. The truth of the matter is, in order to love someone, you have to adopt a vulnerable position. You've got to be vulnerable. And that opens you up to someone hurting you in the process, rejecting you, whether it's physical or whether it's emotional pain. Whenever you adopt the attitude, I'm going to be a disciple that represents Jesus well. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. When we adopt that lifestyle of godlike love, we say, you know what? There's going to be spiritual fruit that comes out of it. One way or the other, I've got nothing to lose. I've got nothing to lose. So that's going to be our lesson today. We'll pick up tomorrow's broadcast and make a note here that we'll pick up at verse number 45. But, you know, not very challenging lesson today. All you got to do is resist the natural urge to hate people and love them, bless them, do good to them, and pray for them, even while they're persecuting you, persecuting me, persecuting the kingdom of God. So, no challenge. It's a piece of cake. You and I, we have this because God's got us. And I pray that if you don't have a church to go to on Wednesday night, that you'll make your way out to Merit Assembly of God. We'll be there at 7 o'clock tonight. There'll be ministry for everybody in the family. We encourage you to come out, be a part of that, as now Labor Day is behind us and we move forward in what God has for us. So one more time, love them, bless them, do good to them, and pray for them, and watch God get to work in their lives. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.